everyone. I'm T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and this is Path Light, and we're so glad you have you tuned in to today's program and hope you'll stay tuned for our entire time together today. I'd like to mention the Go Mix Christian Radio Share-a-thon, if I could, for just a moment. As many of you know, twice a year, we take time out of our regular broadcast schedule to raise the funding we need to keep Go Mix Christian Radio on the air, to keep our broadcast ministry live and growing, and we need your help for that. Now, we don't make financial appeals throughout the entire year. Honestly, just twice a year, we come to you and ask you for financial support. So if you're able to do so, we would appreciate you calling in during our share-a-thon. Now, many of you who are our current faith partners, if you received a letter in the mail, and in that letter, there was probably a pre-share-a-thon contribution card. If you receive one of those, if you've not returned it yet, please do so. Please do so, because we certainly enjoy hearing from you, and your gift could make a tremendous, tremendous difference in the length of time that we need for our share-a-thon. God is blessed. Now, our initial share-a-thon is only going for three days, and we want to get as far down that road. We'd like to get all the way down the road, but we certainly like to get as far down that road as we possibly can. So here again, please, the Go Make Share-a-thon, remember it in prayer, if you will. In just a few moments, I'm going to be sharing a message with you entitled Ruthless Christians. Those two terms seemingly do not go together very well, do they? You think of a Christian being compassionate, loving, caring, and certainly anything but ruthless. But today we're going to be talking about that. Hope you'll stay tuned for today's program. I believe you might find a blessing in that. Just before we get around to today's message, though, I've got music. Music by the Cathedrals on Go Mix. They're talking about the hand of the Lord. Again, stay tuned for our program today, if you will.
I've been blessed by the hand of the Lord. I've been touched by His Spirit and fed by His Word. His voice gently speaking is the sweetest I've heard. Oh, I've been blessed by the
strong. And this temple of silence, one day he filled with his song. And my sins that were many are remembered no more, 'cause I've been touched and I've been blessed by the hand of the Almighty Lord.
This temple of silence, He filled with His song. that were many are remembered no more since I've been blessed, blessed by
what the word ruthless, what it means and what that word comes from, ruthless. The word Ruth originally meant compassion or pity, especially toward the needy and the hurting. So in other words, to have Ruth in the old days meant you grieved over the suffering of other people. Therefore, to be ruthless means you go through life thinking only of yourself. You see, the pain of others, you might see that, but it doesn't move you. You see their pain, but it really doesn't affect you. It's their problem is the way you look at it, and you might even say, well, you know, they deserve what they got. They brought it upon themselves. So you would be considered to be ruthless in the fact that you have no compassion regarding the suffering of other people. We have spoken before on the program about King Zedekiah. If you remember, his lack of concern and cowardice toward the people of Babylon. How when they were surrounded by the Medes and the Persians, they were given an opportunity to surrender. And if they had have surrendered, there'd have been no death, there'd have been no burning, or at least there wouldn't have been any further death. He and his family would have been spared. And the city would have been spared. But rather than do that, rather than surrender, Zedekiah left in the middle of the night. He would sneak out of town, leaving the citizens there to deal with the coming battle. His lack of concern and cowardice toward his people goes down as a cowardly king, if you will. And we can also see that in Pharaoh. He also caused great harm for others, for the people under his leadership, under his reign, yet he seemingly felt very little pain of his own. We see this perhaps most clearly in that first plague when the Nile River was turned into blood, and for a week the people of Egypt had no fresh water and the fish died, and I can imagine the stench that must have filled the land. The Bible says in Exodus 7:21 that blood throughout all the land of Egypt, there was blood there. When the magicians of Pharaoh somehow duplicated his miracle under satanic power, Pharaoh decided to ignore what Moses and Aaron had said and simply just disregard their message. In Exodus chapter 7, verse number 23, reveals, I think, the depth of his callousness where it says, neither did he set his heart to this also. That means he didn't care. He was unmoved by the suffering of his people. As a king, he probably had wine to drink if that's what he wanted. He didn't need water. He probably seldom drank water anyway. The people drank water, and he wasn't at all concerned about it. He'd just go down in his wine cellar and get out some more wine, and he was fine. Here's an early mark of Pharaoh's hard heart. Later, we read about his hard heart and how God hardened his heart. But here in this particular stage, no, his own heart is hardened. He didn't care what his people were going through. He cared only for himself. After all, the Egyptians considered Pharaoh to be a god, so as such he could do no wrong, and he's far above his people the way he looks at it, so what I do is right, and, well, who cares about them? Choices always have consequences, whether you're a king or not, and Pharaoh made his choice very early, and as we'll see, he never changed. Very soon, his nation is going to be devastated by the judgment of God, all because of his arrogant dismissal of the suffering around him. He could care less. His heart was not moved by the suffering of the people. His people were hit by what should have been friendly fire, if you will. Have you ever been hit by what could be described as friendly fire? His people, the people of Pharaoh, were suffering at the hands of a king that should have been looking after them. He should have been their friend. He should have been caring for them. He should have been looking after them. They should have been his concern, but they were not. So they were hit by, again, what we call friendly fire. One firing of a missile in the heat of conflict, and that missile cannot come back. And has that ever happened to you? Has someone ever hit you with friendly fire? And the one who fired it is someone that you thought was a friend, a neighbor, maybe even a member of your own family, maybe your wife or husband, maybe your child or your parent. You thought they were your friend, that you thought they were on your side. You thought they'd never hurt you, but now suddenly they have. I'm speaking to many walking wounded today in the body of Jesus Christ, and you've been hurt by other believers, people who've been hit by the betrayal of a Christian. That person hurt you, and in many cases, they knew what they were doing. It was no mistake. That person meant to say those words. They knew they were going to hurt, and they didn't care. He meant to plot against you. He knew what he was doing. They meant to bring you down, and you may never be the same, but they don't care. You'll remember this for the rest of your life, but they're not going to lose any sleep over it. You'll be possessed for the rest of your life by the pain perhaps they've caused, and the pain may easily become bitterness, but seemingly they don't really care. Do you know anyone like that? Or maybe that is your story. Are you the victim of a wound inflicted by someone you love? Are you a victim? Well, it doesn't really have to be that way. You know the book of Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph, this is in chapter 50 of Genesis, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. If you remember, they sold him into slavery, and boy, they told his dad that he was dead, and they put him in the pit. You remember all that? So they sent a message to Joseph, and their message said this: Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Well, of course, this was not actually the words of their father, but they said it was. Dad has told you to forgive us. Dad has told you to not hold us to our charge. Dad has told you to treat us kindly, even though we plotted your death. Genesis chapter 50, we read all this in chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, and Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers came and fell down before him, and his brothers said this: Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The last thing they probably expected, because it was the last thing they probably would have given him. So I ask you today, has anyone listening to the program right now ever been hurt by someone you love? Someone that you respect? Someone that you thought maybe was the least likely person to hurt you, but yet they hurt you and hurt you badly. Has any believer listening ever been disillusioned maybe about the church because you were let down by a leader in the church? A leader perhaps betrayed you and hurt you, and you look back and you say, you know, wow, if that's the way Christians are. It's the flack that we take from our own side that often hurts the most. Now, this pain was known by David in Psalm 41:9. David says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." David is writing that somewhat prophetically, I believe, referring to the Lord. But this pain was also known by our Lord. John 13:18, "He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Many of you have read, and certainly you've heard, about Jabez. The Prayer of Jabez was a very popular book back some time ago, an excellent book. And in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, we read the story of this fellow by the name of Jabez. Now, the interesting thing is the word Jabez means giver of pain. Now, today people name their children some weird things, and oftentimes they don't know what in the world they mean. But Jabez, the word means giver of pain, and his mom, his family named him that, and his mom knew what the word meant. Now, the Bible says Jabez was a very honorable man, more honorable than his brothers, but then it tells us how he got his name. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, and I'm quoting this, "I bear him with sorrow." And the word really means pain. She says, "I'm bearing Jabez," or "I'm bearing this child with much pain, with much sorrow," she says. "So I'm going to call him Jabez because that's what that means." She had other sons, but something in Jabez's birth hurt her. Perhaps it was a difficult delivery. Perhaps she'd become injured in the delivery. Or perhaps he'd been born at a time when things were hard. And it was tough to make ends meet. And the last thing they needed was another mouth to feed. And maybe that's why. Whatever the reason, and I don't know what the reason was, Jabez's mother was declaring to her family, to the people in her village, to all that lived round about, that this child was a bringer of pain. And he grew up believing that this was his identity. This was his legacy. This is who he was. And every time he looked at his mother, every time he heard his name spoken, every time he would perhaps hurt someone by his actions or his words, it drove home that image in his mind that he was a bringer of pain. How would you like to go through life like that? He was someone who hurt others. That's what his name said anyway. Sometimes maybe by just being around them. Often when God's word stresses the meaning of a person's name, it's there for a reason. And I believe there's a reason here. The reason is knowing what his name meant was the key perhaps to understanding his prayer that here again we have often acknowledged and we've taught on it and read on it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 10, Jabez asked God to bless him, to enlarge his territory, to guide him with his hand. And then he ends the section with something very interesting. He says this, "Keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. Keep me from evil that grief not come," basically, "that I might not cause pain." That's really what he's saying. Lord, my name is Jabez. It means bringer of pain. Lord, keep me from evil. I do not want to cause pain to people. I want to be a blessing to people. Jabez seems to have understood what many people never comprehend. Bringing pain into other people's lives is a spiritual problem. In fact, when we offend others, we can't be pleasing to God. We can't receive his blessings. We can't take hold of his promises the way we should. We can't have his hand guiding us in our lives. We can't lead that victorious life that we ought to lead if we're in the business of bringing pain to other people. Jesus goes even further and puts it this way in Matthew 5:23-24. "Therefore, if I bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What a powerful statement. He says, you're coming to bring a gift to God, an offering to God. He says, don't bother. Just don't do it. You, if you've got aught in your heart against your brother, you go get that thing right, and then come back and make your offering to the Lord. You see, in reality, and I'm thinking about this as we're speaking here, that Jabez's name actually was a blessing in disguise. Think about it for a moment, because it helped him be sensitive to the fact that sometimes he did cause hurt. Sometimes he did cause pain. You see, some people never come to that realization. They hurt people all the time by their words, their actions, or whatever it might be, and they never seem to be sensitive to it. Some people almost seem like they've got a ministry of hurting people, and they never seem to be wiser. What you said hurt people. Well, you know, I didn't know that. Look, I know that on occasion we hurt people. And I realize on occasion some people are just so easily offended at everything, it's hard not to hurt them. I mean, you know, I'm sorry I'm breathing your air. I mean, whatever it might be, some people are just so easily offended, they're looking for somebody to hurt them. I understand that. But let's face it, we also hurt people. Sometimes on purpose, we hurt people when we're angry. We say things we shouldn't say. We hurt them because we think perhaps they deserve to be hurt. Well, you treated me wrong, I'm going to get even. Sometimes we do it out of selfishness or pride. Sometimes we offend others without even thinking about it, I suppose. And sometimes we're so insensitive, we hurt people and seemingly don't even know it, or maybe I should say we refuse to know it, because if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's not going to let you get away with it without convicting you of it. But some people are so cold and callous that they don't sense that conviction. And tragically, we often do it to the people we really love the most. Isn't that a shame? Parents hurt their kids, and kids hurt their parents, and husbands hurt wives, and wives hurt husbands, and friends hurt friends. It shouldn't be that way, but often that is the people we seemingly hurt the most. Jabez had seen enough of this hurting taking place around him. Some of it was happening because of him, because he, like all of us, on occasion has hurt people. Perhaps he realized the accuracy of his own name, because sometimes he did cause others great pain, great hurt. Maybe he wondered why everyone was not named Jabez. Maybe he looked at his own life and said, you know, my name is Jabez, and it means bringer of pain. And maybe mom named me correctly. Not only did I bring pain to her and to my family when I was born, but ever since, I've hurt people on occasion, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. But I've hurt people on occasion. He's saying that, perhaps. I hurt people. But perhaps Jabez also looked around and wondered, you know, maybe everyone should be named Jabez. Maybe all of us should have that name. Maybe my name, instead of T.D. Worthington, ought to be T.J. Worthington. You say, what does the J stand for? Maybe the J stands for Jabez. T, bringer of pain, Worthington. If we thought about it in that way, then maybe, just maybe, we'd be more sensitive to the times in our life when we cause pain to those around us. Almost every day, I hear of where a Christian has caused pain and hurt to another Christian. Sometimes it seems like they're so insensitive to the hurt that they're causing. Parents are hurting their children, and they seem to be so insensitive about it. They seem to not care. Children, particularly teenagers, as they grow older, hurt their parents sometimes so badly, and they seem to be so insensitive. They seem just not even to care. I don't understand that. One Christian can hurt another Christian, and seemingly they don't care. Husbands can hurt wives, and wives hurt husbands, and seemingly they're so insensitive, and yet they both claim to be believers. It is so hard to understand. Maybe all of us ought to have that name. What is your name? My name is Sue Jabez, or my name is Tom Jabez. Maybe if we had such a name, we might all be a little more sensitive to the hurt and pain we cause others on occasion. Now I want to give you a little test very quickly to see if you have the heart of Jabez or if you have a cold, hardened heart. You know, when I spoke of our tendency to hurt others, I wonder what you first thought about. Did you think, boy, I sure hope my husband will hear this message because he hurts me all the time? Or did you think, boy, I sure hope my kids hear this because they hurt me all the time? Or I sure hope my neighbor hears this. I sure hope my boss man hears this because, boy, he's just so insensitive to the hurt and pain he causes. Did you say that? Or was the first thing you thought about is, wow, that might be me. That might be me. Did you think of someone else or did you think of yourself? Did you think maybe of the last time that you said something hurtful to someone else? Did you think about the times in your own life when you may have been a ruthless Christian? A Christian that was unconcerned about the pain you may have been causing someone else. Yes, in our story today, Egypt was devastated in part because of Pharaoh's arrogant dismissal of the suffering that was going on around him. He didn't care. On the other hand, Jabez's name perhaps ended up being a blessing to him because he often thought of his sins first. Maybe we should do likewise and think, you know, maybe I've caused enough pain. Maybe it was in anger. Maybe it was in pride. Maybe it was in arrogance. Maybe I just wanted to get even. I don't know. But I said something that I know hurt someone else, and I was wrong. And I was a giver of pain. We've been talking today on the subject of ruthless Christians. I hope that does not describe you. But if it does, the good news is, through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven of that. You can dedicate your life to being that Christian that God wants you to be, that brings joy and fulfillment into the lives of others, a joy to be around just because you are a child of God, and that reflects in your day-to-day life. Well, again, I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's Pathlight program. If these programs are a blessing to you, we would enjoy hearing from you and remind you that this is available on social media. You can check it out on the Go Mix Radio Facebook site if you'd like to, or the Christian Bible College Facebook site. Check it out on the Pathlight podcast also. Until next time, this is T.D. Worthington saying, may God richly bless you, is my prayer.